like to Gubin. Hello, friend, and welcome once again to a few moments together as we look into the glorious truths of the eternal God. Oh, beloved, how wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know God the Father. How wonderful it is to know the Holy Spirit of God. And through faith in Jesus Christ, believing that Christ died for my sins, that He was buried, that He arose from the grave, inviting Him to come into my life and confessing my sin, acknowledging I need Him, and asking Him to come in and cleanse me and give me His life eternal, He sends the Holy Spirit into my spirit to do that work of salvation. He did that in my life over 75 years ago when I recognized that I was a sinner, that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was September the 7th, 1941, when I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life, and He came in. Oh, He came in that very instant when the invitation was given at the end of a church service. I didn't understand all about it, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I did things that were wrong and disobedient to my parents. And so I stepped out to go forward to ask the Lord Jesus to come into my life. He saw my heart. He knew the desire of my spirit. The Holy Spirit of God moved into my spirit even before I got to the preacher at the front, because the Lord Jesus knew my longing to receive Him into my life, to forgive me for my sin, and oh, the joy that flooded my soul and spirit. Now, each individual's experience may be different. Some may not have an emotion involved in that acceptance of Christ. I did, but others may not. It's a matter of believing the Word of God and basing our faith not upon feeling, but upon faith, upon God's Word, believing what the Lord has said. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Word of God tells us in Revelation 3:20, the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will fellowship with him and he with me." And he will, beloved. All an individual must do is cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for my sin, that you were buried, that you rose from the grave." He'll hear your cry, beloved. He'll hear your prayer. And He is willing and ready to send the Spirit of Christ into your spirit to do that wonderful work of salvation. And I can't explain it all. I just know that it's true. I've experienced it in my own life, and you can experience it in yours. And I don't know, but there's a poor illustration that's given by a television. A television, you may have one in your home. I may have one in my home. We both may be close together, so we can both tune in to the same station. We get the same program. We see the same things that are going on. You in your home, me in my home. And so it is with the Holy Spirit of God. I do not understand all about it. I simply by faith know that it's true, and I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has come into my life, and He bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God, as we're told in Romans chapter 8. Oh, yes, beloved, this is real, and it's wonderful, and you may not be able to understand it all, but, beloved, it's true, And if you by faith will reach out and say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I believe you died for my sin, you were buried, you arose from the grave, I know I'm a sinner and I need deliverance from it, come into my life, Lord Jesus. He'll hear your cry, beloved. He'll come in and change and transform your life. Well, we're talking about spiritual warfare. The warfare with the forces of evil and the powers of darkness. Now, Satan, beloved, will do everything he can, he and his demons, to keep you from putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll try to convince you that this miracle of the new birth is not reality, that it's not true. But, beloved, it is. I know it's true. I based my eternal destiny on it, and I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus when this earthly walk is over, and I'm ready to depart and be with Christ, which is far, far better, the Apostle Paul said. And so, beloved, how Satan hates the truth. He'll do everything he can to keep you from opening your heart to the Lord Jesus. You who have accepted Christ as Savior, even as I have, Satan will do everything he can. He will send his demons to try to keep you from serving the Lord, to try to distract you, to try to lead you astray, to try to keep you from being effective in being a testimony and a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll attack you as a roaring lion, the Bible tells us, a lion that roars. And the roar of a lion many times paralyzes the animals around it because they know what a lion can do. And so Satan roars. But beloved, if you know Jesus, that's all he can do. He can't really hurt you. Because we're covered with the blood of Christ. We're protected. We're safe in the hand of the Lord Jesus. And, beloved, Satan and all of his forces can't get to us. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we see that demonic spirits are very real. Now let's consider Satan's spiritual army. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 12, we read the description of the various creatures or angelic beings that Satan has under his control. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now, beloved, people are not the enemy of Christ. Christ loves the world. He died for the sins of all mankind, that whosoever will may come and believe in him and receive his salvation. But Satan uses people that he has blinded, that he has deceived. He will use people to do all kinds of terrible things to believers and to Christians if he can get them to fight against Christians. This is going on in the world we're living in today. There are many who are so deceived by Satan and are in false religions that they are even trying to kill Christians and do terrible things to believers in Christ because we're in warfare with the forces of evil and the powers of darkness that are inspiring these people that are deceived and blinded to the truth to think that they are doing God's bidding when in reality they're doing the will of Satan. They're under his control and his dominion. And so this is what we're talking about here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in the spiritual realm. Now, principality, what is a principality? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Well, a principality is defined as a state ruled by a prince. That is, a geographical area that is ruled by a prince. The position or authority of a prince or a chief ruler. The rule of a prince of a small or subordinate state. These definitions come from Webster's Dictionary. Now, over in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, if you have your Bible available and will go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 10, we see a very interesting thing that occurred concerning principalities. And here is a beautiful description of it that's given by Daniel as he had this experience, which we read about in Daniel chapter 10. Now, beginning with verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." He had seen this amazing vision that God had revealed to him, and you can read about it in the first part of chapter 10. "And it left him weak, so weak that he seemed to have no strength." Verse 9. "Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words," it was an angelic being that was speaking to him, "then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent." Here we see this heavenly messenger, this angel of God, who had come to Daniel to tell him about the vision and the answer to prayer that he had been praying. Now we'll get into this in our next study together. Join us then. Goodbye.